If you have not been listening to the latest EPP bonus episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online, you don't know what you're missing.
It was so real to me. I could smell him. He was there. And I woke up and it was like he had just left.
GhostPodcast.com is where you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to get exclusive access to our once a week bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
I felt heavy and freaked out. Someone was most definitely watching me.
Complete with exclusive content only for EPP members.
They thought they were mistaken. The house wasn't there. They got out of the truck and stood looking at a large, unattended hayfield.
EPP bonus video only for EPP members.
And I'm like, what kind of sign are you looking for if that's not a sign?
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com or sign up through Patreon. The link is at ghostpodcast.com. I wanted to hear the answer to, did they find bodies underneath the building?
I did too. I was just sure she was going to say, and then they found bodies.
If you want to hear the best ghost stories we have, along with our regular funny and non-judgmental commentary, become an EPP.
This is a pond created by a giant off rock of the United States. I'm going to guess the translation there is.
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for an entire year. Get 1 month free out of that and a bonus bunk bed bell, so you can ring along at home. Keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive and be part of our exclusive EPP community. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, an unexplained ghostly entity meets a listener in a long, narrow hallway late one winter's night. Was the ghost of a little girl haunting two living children by holding their blankets and giggling late in the evening? Or was it something darker? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome. Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online and share your real ghost story with us. Join our Facebook group. It is up there. Be sure, if you've not done so yet, you want a bunk bed bell. Last call on those. Handful of those left for a yearly subscription at ghostpodcast.com. Get in on that to claim that. And also our EPP, so you know now. Some extra stuff in addition to the weekly EPP bonus episodes, advanced episodes now for every single person who's an EPP at any level of subscription. You get all of our episodes as we make them, literally as we make them. I post them up for you, so you get them weeks in advance before everybody else. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you today. And how are you this fine day, Carol?
Hey, I'm good. I saw something funny.
What did you see that was funny?
On that The Real Ghost Stories Online group.
Mm-hmm.
I like to watch what everybody's posting on there because some of it kind of cracks me up.
Sure.
And this guy Brandon posted some. I don't know if you saw this or not, but it made me laugh. And it's like a meme. And it says, the most common ghosts are the visions dressed in white sheets with flailing arms. These are people who died. Sorry. It makes me laugh. These are people who died changing their duvets. They roam bedrooms forever trying to find the corners.
That would be like hell. That would be the ultimate hell. Like I used to say, like, hell to me would be watching the Golf Channel eternally. And I like golfing, but watching Golf Channel to me is just torture. But I could just that monotonous in just sameness of like, what the hell?
Well, the funny thing is now every time I see one of those ghosts that kind of looks like a sheet, I'm going to be, a duvet ghost.
Duvet ghost.
Died trying to change the duvet.
That's not an easy thing to do. I hate changing duvet covers.
Oh, my God, I don't have a duvet for that reason.
Oh, my God. We have two of them because at the cabin that we have where we have folks that can rent it out and stuff, like we change it out and stuff, and it's just a pain in the ass. But the other thing I cannot understand for any reason, I don't know if there's a way to do this, is there a technical way to change or to fold a fitted sheet, like the sheet that goes on the actual mattress. Is there a technical way to fold that? Because to me, it's just ball it up, and I have no idea how you could fold such a thing.
I think there is. I don't know how, but I think there is some kind of system.
It might exist. You're just not quite sure.
Exactly.
Okay.
I think there's a YouTube video. It'd be funny to find a YouTube video of somebody doing it horribly.
I'm sure
I think
there
I'll
is.
Do that.
Exactly.
But that guy Brandon also posted another one and said, "Wonder how many times we tell ghost stories and the ghosts around us are like, I never said that shit. He's not even telling it right."
I did see that one.
That cracks me up.
And I agree. I completely agree with that. Because there's
ghosts are like, what?
Yeah. And the reason I agree with that so much is because with the Grave Talks, the other podcast that I do, with the technology that exists now where people are literally picking up conversations of ghosts talking amongst themselves. It's not even, are you here? And then they try and listen for the EVP. It's just literally just, you can hear them bantering back and forth about stuff. And they're like, yeah, that one over there is like, they're completely clueless. They have no idea what the hell's going on. And shit like that. It really makes me, it makes sense to that sort of thinking of that's what they're thinking. It's like, they're not picking up on this. Why are they not getting this or that? There's such an overlooking, I think, of what or how they think. It's so much of, they're just like us. They're just on this other plane, but they're making the same snarky comments. They're thinking the same things. They're feeling the same things, but we just can't see them or hear them, which must make it much more frustrating than anything else. But
it would have to be.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm over here trying to get your attention, really. Come on.
And at some point when you're not getting the attention, you just kind of get snarky about it. And I think that there's a lot of that going on.
That'd be my luck, a snarky ghost, a smart-ass ghost.
I would love to just screw with people if I could be a ghost. If that was my choice, if I was haunting something and I'm like, okay, I'm going to mess around with things and just mess with people, I would totally just be saying strange things or moving things around. How would you handle it if you were a ghost?
Well, you know, I'd want to do those touching moments with people, of course.
You want to make it like a real special moment with. Like,
yeah. So they'd be like, oh, Carol came back. Yeah. And like, she sent me this awesome message. And then everybody would like attribute all these really awesome things to me. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a great feeling. And then, I don't know, like, could you help people do some really cool things, like win the lottery or something like that? That would be cool. I don't know if you get like superhero powers too.
I don't know. I think it really kind of depends on what you are or who you are. But I would really love to do more than anything else, if I'm going to do a touchy-feely moment with someone, is to cue their Alexa or their Google player or whatever sort of device they have in their home that plays music to play really touching, like Full House type music or Growing Pains type music when I'm going to inspire the moment. So as the moment's happening, there's suddenly just that da-da-da-da-da, and as they're working through the moment, that music just plays, and it's just like a 1991 sitcom, and I think that would really make the mood much more special.
I love that you just want to provide soundtracks for people. I think that's awesome.
All I want to do, and then it's like as soon as they're like, it's a moment. They're like, okay, I think we're okay. All of a sudden, if I. Should stay. It's like, oh my God, Whitney Houston is playing suddenly. I will.
Whitney Houston always makes me cry. Oh, Tony.
That's how I would do it if I was a ghost. That's how I'd roll.
Not me. Everybody's going to be walking around going, Carol's better dead because she is so awesome.
Awesome.
And I'd be like, I am. Look at over here. I'm trying to say some shit. Nobody's listening.
You'd be like all of the party guests. All of a sudden, it'd be like, I get knocked down, but I get up again. It'd be Chumbawamba suddenly blaring into somebody's house. And like, oh my God, this is great. It's a big party.
Yeah, like instead of, you know, creepy things, you know, like the toys kind of cross in the room.
Yeah.
Like in creepy ways. Mine would be a beer rolling towards somebody. That would be a great trick. I would like to do that.
It would be. It'd be
just
great.
Just give everybody beer. or is like, wait, I finished that glass of wine. It's full.
How did that happen?
That was me.
855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to jump into our program and share your story with us. Let's go to our first letter. It says, first off, love the show, and it's the best thing for me to listen to as I walk to the bus after work. Keep up the excellent work. You have a fan from Sweden here. To my story, then, this was my first experience of the paranormal and changed my life forever, as I was still about 10 years old when this happened. It was late October and getting closer to Halloween, and I was being babysat for the whole day and night by my cousin, as she didn't have anything else to do that day. It was mostly a relaxing day as we ordered food from the nearby pizzeria and watched a movie together. So you could say any 10-year-old would be very pleased after that. I asked her if I could go downstairs to the basement and play the gaming console she had there, which she let me since it gave her a chance to call some friends, etc. I played for hours and forgot about the time as it was past midnight, so I thought it was best to shut down and go upstairs because my cousin seemed to be already asleep. As I turned off the lights and stepped into the hallway towards the staircase, something felt wrong, as a child's nightmare came to life. I saw a shadow figure of a man standing at the end of the hallway, just looking at me. It seemed to raise its arm and point at me before it slowly walked towards me. I was frozen in place, paralyzed. Might be a better way to put it. The whole room was cold, as a classic Swedish winter night, and I couldn't feel anything but pure fear. When it was almost close up to my face, I finally snapped out of it and ran upstairs to hide next to my cousin in her bed while crying hysterically. After that, it became more of a mini trauma in a way, so if I told anyone about it, I just said I saw a tiny gnome in the basement that looked at me, which was rather strange, but I guess it helped me deal with a little. Several years after that, I'm a lot more interested in the paranormal and even done some ghost hunting myself with some EVPs and such, but I could write that down in as another story sometime. Thanks for listening, and I hope this didn't end up being too long. Sounds like they had an experience there that was not a gnome, but
no.
I guess if that's how you want to write it off, sure, but something clearly occurred.
And that's what I don't get. Like, when you have an experience as a kid that's that terrifying, and then what is it about it when you're an adult? Then you're like, I'm gonna like do a little ghost hunting and stuff. Like, because what if you had that experience again?
Yeah.
Like, that would freak me out, the idea of that. But I've done the ghost tours, but that's that kind of thing. You know, you get on a bus in Chicago and they tell you what happened. I don't know if I could do, like, any kind of investigation or anything.
It's an interesting thing to me. I've gone on a couple of them, fairly uneventful. I know we've talked about some of them. And it's one of those things where, I much more enjoy hearing the stories and just kind of commenting on them than I do, I think, actually going on them. So you went on a bus tour in Chicago?
I sure did.
Did you do Resurrection Mary?
Yes.
Oh, that's one of my favorite ones. What happened?
And then there was, it's on the campus of DuPaul, maybe.
Okay.
We went and they're like, there's a vortex to hell here.
Okay.
And my friend says, well, let's skip across it. And so we did. And nothing bad happened. And, because it's like, there's apparently a lot of vortexes to hell. Because I've heard of quite a few of them.
Have you heard of Stull or the Stull Cemetery? That's in Kansas, right? The Stull Cemetery?
No.
That's one up by Kansas City. It's in Kansas, technically. And it's a off-limit cemetery. Nobody really wants to talk about it because the locals hate it because it becomes kind of quite an issue. But anyway, go back to Resurrection Mary. I got us off topic.
Because I did do the Resurrection Mary, and I don't really remember all of it, though.
No?
I think the vortex to hell just clouded everything.
Resurrection... Resurrection Mary was a story where I remember watching that on, my mother told me about it as a little kid, which is great. You know, we were like driving over to Prangyway to get, you know, candy and clothes for school. And like, oh, have you heard of Resurrection Mary? And I was like, you know, 5 or 6. And the story goes, it was this woman, and I saw it in Unsolved Mysteries shortly thereafter, because I just absorbed this stuff between the ages of like 5 and 10. And it was a story of a woman who left a party. It was like a World War II party, kind of a dance and things of that nature. And she left with some people, and for whatever reason was dropped off at the side of the road and never found her way back, died somewhere along the way. Then they continued to, the story was that she kept trying to hitch her way back to the party with the service people that were at it. And it, you see her in a certain area of Chicago on this certain stretch of road. That's my very archaic way of sharing the story of Resurrection Mary, but that's a Resurrection Mary story essentially.
And do people just see her on the road? I can't remember. Or does she, or do they, have people stop to pick her up?
Yes. People have stopped to pick her up. Thinking. They get her in the car, and as they go down the road, she's telling them where to go, and then she disappears in the back of the car.
You know, my dad had a good story like that years ago. He was a young guy, and he was traveling by himself, and he was going a long ways. And there was somebody hitchhiking on the road, and he's like really tired, and so he thought, well, I'll pick this guy up and give me someone to talk to. And he said they even stopped for coffee, and he really remembered the coffee taste in his mouth. Like, he goes, I know we stopped for coffee. They continued going, stopped someplace else. Dad gets out of the car, and then he can't find the guy, and so he asked the guy at the service station, you know, did he go in the bathroom? Have you seen the guy? And he's like, you didn't have a guy with you. And Dad's like, I had a guy in the car.
Oh, God.
He's like, he said, no, you did not have a guy with you. And so, you know, here Dad's driving off, like, who have I been talking to this whole time? So it's like, were you so tired that you were like seeing something? And he's like, in my brain, like, I completely picked up this guy. We had stopped once before for coffee, and the guy got back in the car. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. I mean, it's not crazy, but it's amazing. I mean, just the fact that happened. Yeah. It's a reoccurring thing that happens in that area. And the thing is, there's various versions of that in different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing, it seems to happen around the similar sort of incidents, similar sort of atmosphere, similar sort of things that had happened. So, I mean, it makes sense where it's like, well, maybe this is just, you know, these things happen around these areas at this time. And then you have the spirit that still lingers. To me, it's interesting to me because my grandmother worked on the Navy Pier back in the day when it was a, you know, Navy Pier.
Right. It wasn't like an entertainment pier.
There wasn't a Ferris wheel. There wasn't. It was literally building war ships and pieces for the war and bombs and all that. And she would tell me these stories of they weren't the greatest because it was like, and then the sailors came in and then we went down to the docks and like, OK, Grandma, that's great. Stop the story here. That's enough. Thank you. but I could put my a family member in this time period and thinking of, you know, what was going on at that period in our history. But it's a very interesting story and one of those that is always kind of haunted me, really, because I think more so than anything else, Unsolved Mysteries, watching that in the 80s, whatever ghost stories were on there just ingrained themselves in me. And ended up
that guy's delivery. The host of that show. He had such great delivery. The way he would tell any story would make it spooky.
Robert Stack.
That's who it was. Yep. Exactly.
And every Halloween on top of the best one was on top of the Queen Mary when he did that episode. But hearing those stories, and it's just so haunting and so so impenetrable. When you hear them as a child, it's like, oh, this is so amazing. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter, just found your podcast on Google Music. I love it. Just like to say I enjoy your podcast, and it's interesting to hear other people's stories. My story starts with my incident with my childhood home in Bethany, Missouri. To give you an image of how the floor plan of this house is, this was a two-story house with my old bedroom, my older sister, and my older brother on the second floor. My parents' bedroom was downstairs right next to the bathroom and next to what is the kitchen. It was maybe 8 or 9 at night. I was in the bathroom getting ready for bed, and once I got done, I was about ready to walk out of the bathroom when a short black apparition dashed from my parents' room to the kitchen. At that time, my younger sister was about 4 or 5, so I immediately thought it was her. After that happened, I peeked out the bathroom towards the kitchen, and there wasn't anything there. Another incident in that house was several years before my younger sister was born. My older sister had several interactions with something. One was when she got woken up to something holding her blankets down, pinning her down and giggling. Another night, she heard a little girl's voice in her ear, so she looked at her bedroom doorway and saw a little girl in a dress standing there. One incident that involved my brother, my older sister, and I remember reading a book in my room. My sister was in her room and my brother was in his room. Now, the floor in his room had a thick blue shag carpet, so it was hard to shut his door. While playing with his guitar under the bed, my brother's door slammed shut. I remember looking at his door from my room and thought that he shut it, so I went back to my book. My brother ended up coming into my room and asked me if I shut his door. I told him no. Then he went to my sister's room, which, to let you know, was down the hall around past the stairs, round next past the stairs, and next to the upstairs closet. He asked her, and she told him no as well. Ended up going downstairs and told Mom and Dad, who were downstairs at the time. To this day, I still have chills when I think about the house in a paranormal sense. That's my story, and I look forward to your comments about it. Thoughts?
Well, I think it sounds like there's like maybe the guy was bad at guitar and the ghost was mad, but no, it's like almost a playful like kid ghost in there with them though. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of stuff that just, that's what's really scary to me. It's not always what you see, it's what you don't see, like how does the door slam by itself sort of thing.
Sure.
That to me is terrifying. And as a kid, that's scary stuff. As an adult, that's scary stuff.
It is, but I think what a lot of people need to think about too with older homes is just ventilation. And do you remember, did you ever have this where, because we had no air conditioning in our home as a kid. But we had, you know, we had a furnace, but in summer, the pressure, the air pressure within the house could change dramatically really quick if you opened a patio door or something suddenly, if it was all shut up with no air conditioning. And a lot of older homes are like this. And then suddenly, if you have very light doors, and we had those thin, you know, 2-ply doors that were not heavy at all. And if the air pressure changed, doors just slammed shut the second you opened a patio door.
Oh, yeah.
That sort of stuff can happen. It's not paranormal. It's air pressure.
But with a thick carpet, it would be hard to make that happen.
That's a little different, yeah. Then you add that into the mix. But it's one of those things that I think a lot of folks need to think about, too, is doors can slam based on the pressure within a house going in and out. That is a common occurrence. It's just an understanding of when it happens or when it doesn't happen.
Yeah. And some of those old houses were designed to have the air move through them. That's why some rooms shut off and they have, you know, walkways that kind of open through the house. Mm-hmm. to create that in those older homes so the air would move through them. But that said, that, you know, that won't explain the little girl you see in your doorway.
Exactly. It's not quite like, well, the door's shut, but just because you open up the air pressure doesn't mean the little girl magically appears in your doorway. That only happens with a really extreme air pressure. Does little girls suddenly appear? So, something to think about. 855-853-4802, our number, Real Ghost Stories Unlimited. Let's jump to a caller. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, Tony. My name is Lisa. Just want to tell you to keep up the good work. I've got a couple stories about my childhood growing up. So I've descended from many generations that have a special gift, per se, on my mother's side, and I've always been a believer in the things unseen. My whole family is sensitive to things. I actually had a great-great-grandmother that could literally move something with her mind. We all have dreams about things before they happen, so that's kind of cool. We can always prepare. but we've had ghosts and spirits or entities or whatever they're called follow us from house to house. So, for example, we lived in Mount Morris, Michigan. We lived in an old rundown house that was built in the late 1800s by my dad's grandfather. It was built before there was bathrooms. It had newspaper as insulation. I mean, it was old and it was run down and it was like a 4-room shack. So anyway, it was free rent. So we lived there. Anyway, my dad's grandfather passed away when he was really little. So my mom never got to know him, but the first night that she stayed there, she had a dream of a man sitting in the basement. Woke up the next day, described what he looked like. My dad was shocked because not only was that his grandfather, but he had the exact same dream. Same house. My mom was woken up in the middle of the night by someone knocking on her bedroom door, told them to come in. Nobody came in. It happened a couple more times after that same night, and nobody came in. So she finally got up. She was frustrated. She got up to go check on us or to answer the door, and no one was there. She came in there to check on us, and by us, I mean me and my two younger sisters, and we were all asleep. So we ended up moving to Tennessee in 1991. We were renting an A-frame house that was a former restaurant, of all things, and this house was a three-story. So the third story was an attic that had regular house windows in it. The second story had a balcony, and then it had my sister's room, my bedroom, and a playroom. And then the master bedroom was an add-on that was just pure stucco, no windows, and it was downstairs on the first floor. Now, my mom, she would hear little kids whispering and giggling when she was home alone. And several times they woke her up from a nap, and she thought that we were all home from school or something. And so she would call out our names, and then they would stop. Now, for me, I would walk into my bedroom, and I heard footsteps upstairs walking in the attic. I mean, it sounded like a man with construction boots on, just one foot after another. And, there was nobody up there. Now, my sisters had twin bunk beds out there. So we went up to the top of the stairs to the second story. It was a large open room, and that was their bedroom. There was a balcony that was out there or in that room. There was a rope that hung from that third story attic window down to the balcony, and that rope would just swing like somebody was playing on it, even when there wasn't any wind. And we would hear people walking from the bottom of the stairs all the way up to the top of the stairs. Nobody was there. The stairs were creaky, so, you know, they were older. So nobody was there then. The whole family one time was standing outside, and we seen a figure of some sort. It kind of looked like a little girl. In the attic window looking at us as we were standing out in the driveway. So my dad went upstairs and into the attic, and nothing was there then either. And a bunch of other little things had happened in that house, but the freakiest one that happened in the house was my baby sister at the time was 4 years old, and she had woken up middle of the night because she was scared, because we had a cat. He was an orange cat. He had orange eyes. And she said that his name was Billy Bob. She said Billy Bob's eyes were watching her. So she crawled out of her bed and went downstairs, went to my parents' room, got in bed with them. Well, she told my mom what had happened. She said, Billy Bob's eyes are watching me. And they were down there in my mom's room. They followed her. And my mom had seen them. And my mom just thought that it was like a light reflecting off of Billy Bob's eyes. Well, and you know, she was real sleepy or whatever. And she woke up the next day and realized, you know, hey, my room doesn't have any light in it. It doesn't have any windows. There's no way this cat's eyes can be glowing or reflecting from light. So something was watching them. A year later, we ended up moving from that house. We were renting it, and we were building a house at the same time. So the house that we had built, my parents still live in it now. And not a whole lot of things have happened, you know, considering... I say a whole lot. It probably would scare somebody else when you've kind of grown up with stuff. After a while, you become numb to it. Some of the things that would happen in my parents' house now is my sister, the one that was 4 years old, she has seen a dog running from her bedroom, chased it out into the hallway, and it vanished into the kitchen table, like under it. She also seen a floating hand that was pointing at her with its finger. Nothing else, no arm or nothing, just a hand. My mom, when she was praying in her bedroom, she would hear something knocking on her bedroom exterior wall, and she's on the second story. Excuse me. And for me, what I had seen, I was probably about 15 years old. I was laying in bed, and there was these black things that was coming off the walls, like shadows or blobs almost. It looked like the walls were sort of melting. And as they were melting and they were coming towards me as I was laying in bed, these green things, like little balls, neon green balls, they weren't super bright, but they were coming in front and kind of protecting me or stopping these black things. So I just pulled the covers up over my head and went to sleep. Well, the next night, I called my sister in there, and she slept in my bed with me, and she's seen them as well. So that only happened those two nights for me, but that was enough. I mean, other things have happened to you, like shadows or, you know, sounds, car doors or doors slamming in the house. But like I said, you kind of get numb to stuff after a while, and those become the little petty things. So... Thank you so much for listening. I do have another story that I'd like to share, but I'll save that one for another day. It's a little longer. It's about a personal encounter that I had. So thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye.
Thoughts on that story?
Well, do you hear that quite a bit? Because you've heard a lot of stories with the family, like a lot of people in the family being sensitive to stuff like that. Like. Yeah. Because it sounds like it, like when she said her grandmother could move stuff. Now that, I don't know that you can, but she said that she could. But does it seem kind of common? Like a lot of that's kind of passed down.
If there's abilities, it does seem to be a fairly hereditary thing. As far as moving things and whatnot, it's hard to prove things like that. But it's an interesting, you know, thought at least. Because usually if someone's more so on the sensitive scale of we can see this, we can sense this, and then they discover the children, the grandchildren, they have these abilities as well. Yes, it does seem very, very hereditary.
And does it seem too like with some people, because you're open to it and, you know, no matter where they would move, they would have these experiences that maybe, you know, they're more perceptive to it.
Yeah.
I mean, and they can pick up on it. You think that like some of it other people wouldn't even pick up on?
It's what I would call haunted people, almost. People who, no matter what they do, no matter where they go, they're going to be experiencing things from the other side, things that are paranormal. In fact, one person that we both know who's been actually been on the show before and has talked about his experiences is Ian, who, mm-hmm. you know, we've both worked with. And he's had a lot of experiences like that where it's just this kind of thing where it's like there's a sensitivity level of stuff where it's there. It kind of follows the family. And for whatever reason, I think these things are always around us. It's just only certain people seem to have the, you know, the radar strong enough, I guess to pick up on some of it.
Because you think, like, you know, okay, say there's some ghost knocking on the wall.
Sure.
And that maybe I hear it and you don't.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, it seems like that whole family had a lot of, no matter where they go, this stuff was around them.
I think sometimes the activity is so strong that anyone could pick up on it, whether they have a sensitivity level or not. And then sometimes it's not so strong, but someone with it's like, I always go like to the level of like 1 to 10. And I'd say like 1 to 10 on anything, of like 1 to 10 on hearing. Where are you on hearing? Where are you on sight? Where are you on smell? And where are you on paranormal? Where are you on picking up things that others will not pick up on? And I think we're all on that scale. It's another sense that's not really necessarily recognized by many, but I think we're all somewhere on that scale. And some people are up there at 10 and some people are at 1 or nothing or 0, where the same people can be sitting in the same room and hear that knocking. And some people are going to hear it just as clear as day. And others are going to be like, what knocking? There's nothing going on at all. No. I think it's where it comes in on. It's a matter of sensitivity and how strong is the haunting itself that is that's going on. Good story, though. That was a good
That was good. I want to hear your next one.
Love to hear more. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. You get every single bonus episode of the show, 210 plus of those now. Every single advanced episode from here going forward, you get those and video content as well. So many extras for keeping us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com. Check it out and keep us going. Until next time, for Carol Hughes, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.